It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why, although there are notable exceptions, humanity as a species is pretty much the worst.
Well, I'm not sure I think that study is quite valid. I mean, you know, sample sizes aren't very big. Doesn't sound like all of them are random either. So I think I'm skeptical about your conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, I knew I was going to burn down the building, so I did specifically get together all the people that I hated.
Okay, well.
So, I mean, it was doing a couple things. It wasn't just a study.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was a really strong correlation.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying more research is needed.
All right. I feel like that's fair. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world where we don't care and you don't have to.
Nope. Not a requirement.
In fact, it would be weird if you did. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 287.
287. Goodness gracious.
Are you going to do anything special for the 300th episode, or?
Yeah, we were probably going to do something, weren't we? I don't know what, though.
Okay.
Got any suggestions?
No, I've avoided bringing it up because I thought it might annoy you if I brought it up.
No.
But yeah,
it's, although bringing it up and having no ideas, so. Because I also have no ideas.
Yeah, I don't have any ideas.
I'm going to sneeze, and I really don't know how this is going to work. I mean, I understand how sneezes work, but. No, maybe not. Maybe it's going away.
I'm not sure I understand how sneezes work exactly.
It's angels bowling.
Oh.
Yeah. I love doing that. You just pick some weird folklorism and just use it for everything. All the time.
We were watching one of those Wonder Woman reaction videos, and there's a point in the trailer where she says, "What I do isn't up to you." And the young woman watching it said, I'm gonna say that now all the time.
Mm.
And at first when she said that, I thought, well, that's kind of an odd thing to pick up on. Like, now this is going to be a little catchphrase for you.
Okay.
But then she gave an example that I thought was hilarious. Oh, try and have a nice day. What I do is up to you. I thought, well, that's hilarious. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. This morning I get to work. There was a meeting at work, and my boss had sent me an email saying, here's a list of people, please forward them the information so they can like dial in and listen to the meeting.
Mm.
And so I put together an email,
mm-hmm,
and sent it, and one of them replied, but replied all, and said, thank you very much for sending that, I needed that information. So I replied all and said, wasn't up to me. My boss told me I have to do it. If it was up to me, none of you would ever get in on that meeting, ever.
Well, I think you better tell people how this works before you forget.
I already don't remember how this works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. I'm going to do it all where I end everything like it's a question. You know,
okay,
so.
Yeah.
People like yourselves write into the hat with little notes, little comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat all on its own, magically, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's Emerald Servants?
Why not? Why not?
Why not? Draw those note cards out of the hat at random. Read them on the air. Talk about them till we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the whole show. Seriously, I'm asking. I have no idea. So how's your week been?
Good. I think I finished the first draft of episode 2.
We haven't ever gone through episode 1 together.
My
we should do
project.
That.
And I'm working on episode 3 right now.
This is Blue Hawk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, when you're working on something like this, it doesn't matter how you feel about it while you're working on it, because I'm having a lot of fun with it, really, and I enjoy it, and I'm pretty much in a good mood every day. I get to just work on it for 8 hours straight. But then, afterwards, I wonder, is this any good? Is this just a big waste of time, or what? It's a weird kind of thing, you know? You're really into it at the time, and you're just... But then when you have to take a break, you know, day's over, whatever, wife gets home, you're doing stuff, then you have time to sort of reflect on it and think, well, that was fun and everything, and this is very fulfilling in a lot of ways, but what is this, and is it crap? I have no idea. My wife's been good enough to read the first and second episodes, and she likes them all right, but, you know, she and I have very similar tastes in things, so...
Yeah, well, and you know, I like the first episode.
Okay, well... I think the second episode came out okay, but also they're just first drafts, so if you know they're not that great, that's okay because I can go back and fix them or whatever.
Yeah, and I do have a hard time critiquing screenplays.
Yeah,
because so much is not in the hands of the author,
right?
And hasn't happened yet, so
right.
That's the tricky thing with a screenplay. It literally could come out amazing or the worst thing ever. Regardless, screenplay.
Exactly, that's exactly right. Well, and the tricky thing about writing these is, I actually had my wife read it before, and it didn't work out very well because she pointed out how little detail there was in the thing. But of course, when you're writing a screenplay for any purpose, or a play, a stage play even, as the writer,
the director's going to provide the detail.
Well,
in a lot of cases.
You want that. So a lot of times, I've actually changed both scripts in a way that if I were to give it to someone who works in the business, they'd probably say, there's way too much script here.
Mm-hmm.
You've got way too much, you know, description and explanation in here. You know, you're supposed to leave some of this up to the director and to the actors, too.
So that's, business, he means professional ice cream makers.
Well, but also that not only is that a more sensible way to write the script for professionals working in the business, but also it presents a certain challenge to you as the writer that actually kind of improves your writing if you're forcing yourself to put all the storytelling you want in the actual dialogue without it being a bunch of explanation about. You know,
yeah.
You're sort of forced to put it in the action.
Dialogue instead of stage direction.
Yeah, put it in the action and put it in the interaction, and that just makes the writing better, too. So, but because I've decided just to go ahead and sort of write this script however I think I need to convey to other people what I think this should look like, because I think that's the only way I'm going to be able to adequately pitch it. Another thing that happened this week was there was a friend of mine, my cousin's husband is a graphic artist. And I heard that...
So your cousin-in-law.
I guess. And I heard that he was looking for some work. So
you said, mow my lawn.
I wrote up a pitch for this because one of the things I've always said about this project is that it could probably make a good comic or graphic novel or something.
I think it would make a marvelous graphic novel. I think it would make a better graphic novel than a TV show.
That's possibly true. So so I sent a pitch to them. I mean, I let them know that the way it would have to work, if they liked it, was we'd have to, like, do a Kickstarter or something, and that's how he would get paid, because I don't have a lot of money to pay him. But the thing is, he's done things, like, some people know him. So, mm-hmm. like, you could put a Kickstarter together, and his name recognition plus some actual, maybe some, he could draw up some stuff ahead of time just for the Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah.
And it might actually go somewhere. But, I mean, nobody knows me, and I wouldn't have anything to show people.
I don't know you.
So it'd be difficult for me just to do a Kickstarter.
Weird guy keeps coming into my house every week. I have no idea.
He comes here every week?
You.
Oh, me.
I don't know you.
I thought you were talking about
Nobody
Mormons
knows you.
Something.
You always think I'm talking about Mormons.
So anyway, I sent him a pitch. I haven't heard anything from that yet, but that was something that came up this past week. Not a lot of other things, really. But it's been fun to work on that stuff. I've been reading my novels again. Just when I can't sleep, they're right next mm-hmm. to my bed, so I just picked them up and read them. Which is kind of an interesting thing to do when you haven't even thought about them for years. Because it feels like you're reading something that someone else wrote.
When I read your novels, it felt very much like I was reading something that someone else wrote.
It's interesting to read them. It's interesting to see them from a different perspective like that.
It is odd, possibly because I was involved in the editing of your novels, but as I learn things and try and sort of compare it with my novel, I find myself doing it with yours also. I'll read a thing and they're like, oh, you know, you should heighten stakes doing this. I'm like, oh, yeah, I should do this. And I'm like, what about Williams? Well, Williams, I don't know why, but in my head, I'm filtering it through both of them. I did that a little bit when I was writing it. I did, in my head, I would do some compare and contrast to your stuff. I'm like, oh, William did it like this, and it was really cool. I should do it more like that. Or, this is different than Williams, but I think I like it better.
Well, you know, I think people, you know, certainly when I was writing my stuff, I was constantly contrasting it with other things that I wrote or other people.
But that's the thing. I'm not generally contrasting any of this stuff with other published works, and yours is sort of the only other work I know outside of that context.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's
probably, I think that's why.
It's probably because you had a hand in it.
Well, especially in the first one,
yeah.
We did like three. Mm-hmm. I think I edited it like three times or something.
Oh, yeah, you were very, very helpful.
I was involved in the third one hardly at all. But the first one especially, yeah, I remember being...
you and Mark both helped a lot with the first one.
Yeah, so for some reason I keep going that way. Which is funny, because they are dramatically different. I mean, my book looks nothing like yours. And I don't anticipate it will when it's finished either.
How was your week?
Okay. I've officially stopped playing Fallout 4, which I've noticed your wife started playing again.
Yeah, because of the DLC.
The Nuka World. Yeah. I think I came back too soon. I'm just not that into it, so I'm setting it aside again for a while.
You're not into Nuka World?
No, I'm still in Far Harbor. Oh. I'm still like halfway through Far Harbor. No, I'm not into Fallout 4. I burned out pretty bad before, and apparently I'm coming back too soon. So I stopped that, and I started playing Assassin's Creed Unity, which is the worst Assassin's Creed game, which I kind of expected going in. People actually tried to warn me off of it. And some of it is the bugginess, but very little of it is the bugginess, because they fix most of the game-breaky thing. I've had weird things. I've had, you know... A guy trying to attack me, and then he suddenly can't see me anymore, and he starts pacing, and I'm like standing right next to him, like that kind of stuff. And occasionally somebody floating off the ground and stuff. But nothing real game breaking. Mostly, they were going for something, and it was a really bad idea. Mm. Like, the game was built around synergizing it with apps and multiplayer and stuff like this. So, like, there's four different kinds of currency in the game.
Wow.
There are four different types of chests in the game to pick up stuff. and I believe they must have patched it or something, because now I've done it. At a certain point, you weren't able to open a certain kind of chest unless you were playing on the app. Hmm. And stuff like that. And so it's just so much more MMO, almost, in a lot of ways. Hmm. And I'm not enjoying that, but it's still very much an Assassin's Creed game, and I am enjoying that. I love the Assassin's Creed games, so I'm getting more into it. I've been reading a book on StoryCraft called How to Write the Breakout Novel. And I was a little wary at first because at its heart, like any book of this sort of nature, it's basically a self-help book. You know, it's a specific kind, but right. And self-help books frequently have to start with sometimes just an intro, but in this case it was a foreword, an intro, and a first chapter that are basically trying to defend their existence.
Yeah.
Why you need them, why it's... I was like, oh my god. And the part of the problem also is this one's back from 2000. Mm-hmm. And so there's weird stuff, like the author isn't really sure that ebooks will become very big of a thing. And I'm like, oh, fuck. But I've gotten past that, and it's some very useful stuff. It's a little bit freaky, because there's a lot of things that he's like, you know, you really should have this kind of thing. And I'm like, I don't have that. I don't know if I can add that the way my story is. Mm. But frequently by the end of like whatever section it is, I'll have some ideas.
Right.
So I am finding it useful and interesting. I think it's going to help me in the long run. We finished Killjoys, second season. I still like it. There were some things I didn't like about the season. It's getting a third season. I'm very happy about that. We also saw the pilot for Atlanta. You familiar with this?
No.
Atlanta is a new comedy on FX that is created by, written by, executive produced by, and I think later in the season it's going to be directed by, Donald Glover.
Oh, yeah, I have heard about it.
Yes.
I didn't know it was a comedy.
I would put it in a sort of dramedy category, because okay. It's definitely got some serious shit in it. But it is a half-hour piece, so. And I've been very curious, because it's a big deal in a lot of ways. It's a very big passion project of his. Pretty much almost everyone involved, both in front of and behind the camera, black, which has sort of never happened.
Hmm.
Before, and in fact he was asked about like is that inappropriate or unfair or whatever, and he pretty much gave the similar answer like when Ruth Bader Ginsburg got asked about an all-woman Supreme Court. He's like, well, yeah, decades of all white dudes, so you know.
Well, but then what critics say there is, yeah, but that was bad, right? It's like, well,
but there's and it's still going on. And we need offset on, yes,
so nobody seems
and
to care.
It Here's what I'm hearing. I'm not in a position to know, both as somebody who only saw the first episode, and as a white dude, and as somebody who this isn't my field or anything. But what is being stated a lot is that this has a very serious feel of coming off as a genuine real life experience of being a black American.
Hmm.
You know, because there's shows that are largely black casts and that have a significant black following, but that, like Empire. Empire's a great example. Empire, mostly black people in the show. Mm-hmm. I think quite a few black people behind the scenes, too, I think. I know a lot of black people really like that show. But it's like Knott's Landing or Dynasty. Like, it's not indicative of the actual African-American experience in the same way that Dallas was not indicative of the average white experience.
Sure.
This has that feel to it. I mean, I can't speak to it because I don't know, but it feels that way to the degree that sometimes it's confusing to me and sometimes it makes me a little uncomfortable.
Mm.
But it's pretty well-crafted, and it's also pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
Like, not all the time, but the funny bits are funny. Very, very clever stuff. I think I've sort of known this over the years, but I think I'm just a Donald Glover fan. Which is weird, because some of the projects he's done, I was not into. He had a movie long time ago with DC Pearson and somebody else called Mystery Team. And mm-hmm. I love DC Pearson also. Fucking hate that movie. I thought that movie sucked. Mm-hmm. It was just so crude and stupid and gross. I really did not like it.
Yeah, I wasn't into it either.
I was very excited for it. And I've seen some of his sketch stuff, same kind of thing. But he's got skills. He's just got skills. And you can see it here in his performance. You can see it here in his writing. I'm kind of excited to keep watching it. And the pilot is on YouTube.
Oh,
for
yeah?
free, yes. The second episode, harder to come by, unfortunately. Well, it already aired, and they're not encoring. And as of yesterday, it wasn't even on demand for FX. As of today, I just looked tonight, and it's there as one episode. The first two are as an hour-long episode. Uh-huh. So thank goodness, because the first two episodes have aired. The third, I mean, I set the DVR now, but it's too late for the first two. So, but now we can get it on demand, so that'll be good. Because I definitely want to keep watching it. We played D&D, fought the green dragon. Technically, we won, and technically, nobody died.
Technically.
In both cases, only technically.
What does that mean?
Well, we didn't kill the dragon. We hurt him enough that he ran away. Hmm. And we're counting that as a win.
Okay.
And we're getting experience for it. And technically nobody died.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, when you die, you know, you got your hit points. And if your hit points go to zero, you fall unconscious. And then when your hit points are zero or lower, you make dice rolls to, like, see if you're bleeding out or something like that. And, and it's a whole process, and you roll...
Who's that?
I have no idea. Let's find out. Who can it be knocking at my door? I don't know. Hello?
Hi, sorry about
I see. This is interesting. Don't let the cat out. Don't let the cat out, William. Yeah, shoot, I wanted to check with her. No, they did. Which is could totally be normal that they wanted to sell us something, as it could be exactly what she says.
It could be a scam.
It could be a scam on her.
Oh, really?
Yes. If I had moved a little faster, I would have asked her if she wanted to make a phone call. Because and I'm not saying this is what this was, but there are places around the country where basically you take. Usually kids. It's frequently like runaways and stuff like that, but sometimes young adults. And you essentially give them a job, and the job is going around selling like magazine subscriptions and stuff.
Okay.
And they usually have a story like that, but it's really horrific conditions, and it's one of those like usurer kind of thing. Like they house you, and then they say you have to pay for the housing, and so they have you, and like so they'll pile you all into a van, and they'll go to an area, and then you all fan out for a few hours and try and sell. And then you all stay in a hotel room that night, like one hotel room for like a dozen kids and stuff. Yeah, so you kind of got to watch out for that stuff. And yeah, buying it doesn't help, but we do try and check. And there was one other kid who was here one time, and I asked him if he wanted to call anybody, like his folks or whatever, and he said, no, I don't have anybody. He said, my parents would not want to hear from me. But he said, I would love a glass of water, because it was really hot that day, and so I gave him a glass of water. But, yeah, so, it's a little sad, but it's also not necessarily that. What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
Things that happen. Oh, yeah, D&D. So, yeah, so dying is a complicated process. And so nobody actually died. But out of the five players involved, because one person wasn't there. Four of us went to negative hit points.
Oh.
And barely survived. Because if you go to negative hit points equal to your normal maximum hit points,
yeah,
you're just dead. There's no rolling involved. And some of us got close. I believe I got to negative 17, and I 22 was as far as I could have gotten. So, yeah, but we technically won. Nobody technically died, so huzzah.
Sounds like that was a rough battle, though.
The whole thing was insane, because we were going to go fight the dragon, but then we found a dude, and he was part of a bunch of dudes who were all like, we think the dragon is cool, and we want to study the dragon and be more like the dragon, and they were such tools. And we were like, well, we need to get rid of the dragon. And they're like, no, it's too awesome. We're like, we're probably going to kill it because it's evil. And they're like, oh, you don't know that. It's just majestic and wonderful. And then it became a whole thing. And then somebody made fun of somebody, and somebody didn't take it well. And we ended up killing one of the guys.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, I didn't, but they did. Because he said some stuff, and so the guy came over to do something, and then weapons were drawn, and somebody got stabbed a little bit, and then...
a little bit.
No, that was our character. He got stabbed for, like, 6 points or whatever. And then one of our other people stabbed the other guy, and just straight through the heart, dead.
And
I was just
standing
there.
Didn't have that kind of luck fighting the dragon, apparently.
No. No, because they all left before then. Because I think they left when we killed their dude. I think they were like, holy shit, we're going to get out of here. Oh, no, actually, one of them went in to tell on us to the dragon, basically. And so when we showed up, he was dead in there, because that dragon was definitely evil. Yeah, I think that was mostly it. We didn't go to the movies or anything. We finished up Bajillion Dollar Properties on CISO that season. That was pretty fun. We found out Addy does not like Brian Posehn, the comic.
Okay.
We were watching his special on Trish's iPad in the bedroom. We were just laying on the bed watching it. It was propped up against the headboard. And out of nowhere in the middle, Addy just runs in, slams into it, and knocked it down between the wall and the mattress. Apparently not a fan of Brian Posehn. Addy's still a monster. Still not freaking letting us sleep.
It's alright, Gus.
I've seen some crappy movies recently, but nothing worth talking about, I don't think.
I mean, we've been watching stuff, but I don't... Nothing I remember so well as to talk about it, really.
Alright, let's hat then.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, it's right here. I know where it is, I just don't want to move because I've got an Ezzy on my shoulder.
Why is she sitting there?
Because she wants some comfort. I don't think she's doing well. She's been throwing up a lot lately.
Aw, that's too bad.
It's possible her brother's just stressing her out. I don't know. At night, frequently, everybody else is in the bedroom and she comes out for some snuggles with me.
Mark McKibben wants to know.
Mark McKibben!
What is your favorite summertime cocktail?
What is my favorite summertime cocktail? I know what you're going to say.
I'm not going to say anything.
No, see, that's the thing. Give us a summertime non-alcoholic drink, then.
Water. Water's great in the summertime.
What about frosty root beer?
That's good all the time. I don't...
But water is exclusively a summer thing?
No, I can't really think of anything that I appreciate more in the summer than any other.
I don't either, but there are things that are more summery.
I suppose.
You
I
know, mean, like we lemonade
end up,
is a summer
end up
drink.
Limeade and lemonade more in the summer, yeah. And I really do like limeade, particularly even more than lemonade.
Trish has gotten there. Trish tends to drink juice because she doesn't like artificial sweetener. And so she'll either drink water or she'll frequently drink juice. Because I'll drink, you know, diet sodas and stuff like that. And she really liked the Simply Lemonade for a long time. And then she tried the Simply Limeade, and she vastly prefers that.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
And that's most of what she drinks now is Simply Limeade.
You know, I also prefer things that aren't don't have sugar in them. Mm-hmm. I like Reed's ginger ale, premium ginger ale, because it's sweetened with pineapple juice and honey. They have other ginger ales that they'll put cane sugar in, but the premium is just sweetened with honey and pineapple juice, and somehow it's I don't know. You can tell that it's doesn't have that it's sweetened that way.
You got some long claws, Missy.
But I drink that all year round. So, but yeah, it's probably true that I don't drink lemonade or limeade very much, except in the summer, and I really do like limeade quite a bit, even though it's got it's sweetened with sugar. My wife started making. We have a carbonator, you know, at home.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And she started.
Is this a SodaStream?
I think so.
Did I tell you one of my friends jailbroke his?
Jailbroke.
Yeah. So you have to buy the little things. Well, I guess there are certain versions you don't. You can just hand pump it or whatever.
I don't know.
But in a lot of them, you have CO2 containers.
Yeah, you gotta buy CO2
and
containers.
And they make them for it, and they're not super cheap. At least compared to, like, if you were just getting CO2 in some other form. So he actually looked it up online and adapted it. So now his will take CO2 canisters for paintball guns, which are way cheaper. So when he runs out, he goes to Shields Sporting Goods and buys those CO2 cartridges. So yeah, we always talk about how he could jailbreak his SodaStream.
She takes limeade or lemonade, whichever she's making that night, concentrate, mm-hmm. mixes it with honey, and then pours the carbonated water in there, and it makes a really good carbonated lemonade or limeade that's sweetened just with honey, which tastes really good. And I prefer the limeade in that case, too.
In the late 90s, when I was in Britain, their versions of their version of the traditional man drink was a beer, but the traditional girly drink was Southern Comfort mixed with fizzy lemonade, which is a much bigger thing over there. And I thought that sounded really tasty.
With Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort is essentially a peach brandy. It's very tasty also, but fizzy lemonade is very tasty.
Is that your favorite?
No, I've never actually had that cocktail. I like a good rum punch. I do enjoy a good rum punch.
What's in a rum punch?
It varies, but usually rum and fruit juices. Different people make it different, but
Clarence the Angel ordered that in It's a Wonderful Life, but he said that it wasn't cold enough for that. Oh, flaming. He wanted a flaming rum punch.
Oh, no, different. I don't know that I've ever drunk anything that's flaming. Yeah, honestly, beer is really good for summer, because it's cold beer. Some beers you don't drink cold, but
that's not a cocktail, though, right?
No. Well, technically, neither would Southern Comfort and fizzy lemonade.
Why? What makes a cocktail?
I don't know. I think it's more than two ingredients. Because, again, this is going in the UK. In the UK, you can order beer. You can order anything that's already bottled. You can order beer in an average pub. You could order, obviously, liquor. Like, give me a shot of vodka or something like that. And you could order a drink that is like a rum and coke. Give me a alcohol with a mixer, you know. Rum and coke, whiskey and coke, vodka, tonic, things like that.
Orange and juice.
But,
and vodka.
Like, if you said, give me a Long Island iced tea, you could not get that.
Why?
Because it's a cocktail, and you have to go to cocktail bars for that.
Because it has more than two ingredients?
Just
because
it's more complicated? I don't really know, but that's just how it works. And so based on that, no one ever really explained it to me, but based on that, I believe a cocktail is more than two ingredients. But I don't actually know.
Why? What's in a Long Island iced tea?
Long Island iced tea is like seven things.
It is?
Yeah, it's a bunch of stuff in it. Because that's the trick. It's some mixers and a bunch of different alcohols mixed together in such a way that's supposed to be indicative of iced tea. Which it's sort of not really. No, there's no tea involved. No. It's sort of that color is mostly why it comes out looking that color. But no, I think it's like four different types of alcohol and some sour mix. possibly simple syrup. I'm not sure. I don't even remember.
Are there cocktails that people enjoy specifically in the summer, like
a mint julep? I would imagine.
What's in a mint julep?
Julep. I have no idea. They're minty things.
Because gin is made from juniper, right? That's this somehow.
Well, that's where this gets weird.
Somehow I know about this. I don't know how, but
gin is traditionally made with juniper berry flavors, but apparently that's not what defines gin.
Really?
Because I have had gin that was not juniper based, and discovered that I don't hate gin when it's not juniper based.
Oh, well, I think someone just told me that once.
Well, no, because that's what you'll run into. Like, it is very unusual to find it another way. But it's the same thing. Like, I used to think what kind of spirit it was based off of what it was fermented from. So vodka came from potatoes, and which none of that is true.
No, that's not. I know that's not true.
Well, and it's the same thing with the gin. Technically, it's not about the juniper berries, but traditionally it is. And it's disgusting. It's also why I hate capers. Juniper berries were not meant to be ingested. They're gross. They're pretty, but they're not. No. No. I don't know what summer. Well, I know a shandy is considered a summer beverage, which tends to be half beer, half lemonade.
My understanding about spirits is that the highest quality spirits are going to be distilled to the point where they're pretty much odorless, tasteless, colorless.
Only for vodka.
And that, well, but then if it's supposed to have a particular flavor, that's added back in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The best and the worst are like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like moonshine. Now you can sell moonshine in like Tennessee, and the best moonshine is basically distilled to the point of high quality vodka, and then you put a corn flavor or whatever flavor you want back.
Yeah.
And my understanding of that a lot of whiskeys and stuff, it's really about, you know, distilling it to that point or near to that point, and the flavor mostly comes from the barrel or some such thing like
and
that.
And I've actually seen whiskey that hasn't been aged yet, and it just looks like vodka. It's just a clear spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
The shittiest liquors are like that too, where companies will just make generic grain alcohol and then put in fake flavorings to make it taste
true.
More vodka-like.
That's
or whatever. True. Hawkeye comes to mind for that. Hawkeye vodka and Hawkeye vodka. That's the one I knew the most, but I think they make gin and other stuff like that.
But the point
it's
is,
all terrible.
Anything that's got sugars in it or whatever can be distilled to the point of
potentially
of a clear
can definitely be fermented and then theoretically should be able to be distilled
to the point of a clear vodka like substance. It can be grain, it could be corn, it can, like you said, potatoes, it can be anything, and then you either keep it that way and it's like you said basically vodka, or you flavor it somehow and then it's something else.
Yeah. But, like, this summer, I don't think I've hardly drank anything. I probably have had a couple beers, and that's about it. Huh. All right, so, thanks for your question. Sorry we don't really have much answer. I don't know if the question's flawed or if it's just you and I, but I feel like I should have a good one, but I haven't got nothing. All right. Okay. Whoa, this is from Coffee, and it is long, and it has not been abridged.
Oh, it all fit on the card, huh?
Oh.
She must be becoming an expert.
Oh, man, this is one that, like, I'm already annoyed with you for your answer.
Oh,
that you haven't even said yet.
Good. That's a good question when that happens.
If you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone, what would you most regret having not told someone? Why haven't you told them yet?
The funny thing about this question is how plausible it is.
I'm totally going to murder you at the end of this episode.
I drive 8.6 miles to get here. And it's going to be 8.6 miles back on the interstate. I've had I've been in almost been in accidents several times on the way to or from.
Because you are a terrible driver.
No, because the interstate is awful. And other people are terrible drivers. So it's entirely plausible that on the way home, I could get in a terrible accident and die without having said things to certain people.
So what would you most regret?
What would I most regret not saying?
Mm-hmm. Not having told. And, follow up, why haven't you told them?
I can't. I mean, you know what? The things that I have regrets about in life pertain to people I've known who I don't feel like I treated very well, or who I think they didn't feel like I treated them very well, but I feel like they misunderstood, mm-hmm. you know, what I was doing or whatever. And for some of those people, we somehow parted. I've never really parted ways with someone like we had a big fight or something.
Yeah.
And the last thing I said to them was mean or something like that. But circumstances maybe made it so that we went different directions and just didn't catch up with each other kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't have any reason to think that that person remembers me in any bad way or remembers me at all, maybe. But I don't know. And because I'm me, I tend to pick out the dumb things I did in that relationship and think that, boy, they probably think I hated them, or their feelings were probably really hurt because I did X, Y, or Z. And circumstances made us go different directions. And if I met them now or ran into them or whatever, and if it wasn't too awkward...
Ow!
And if it wasn't too awkward, I might bring this up and say, hey, I'm really sorry I did that or said that or whatever. Mm. But, I mean, that's kind of beyond my control. I don't know where these people are.
Yeah, you haven't told them because you have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know where they are. I don't know anything.
I'm not sure I have much answer either.
But then that's it. That's it. Yeah. Usually if I have something to say to someone, I say it.
The stuff, and then that's why I think this is a weird question. I think you and I are both like that. Generally speaking, things I have not said are for...
Hey.
Two basic reasons. See, that's why she's so stressed out, because he keeps doing that shit. And it's a little bit mixed, because he just wants to play with her, but at the same time, you know, he's kind of an asshole about it. There are two types of things. One is stuff that is just not helpful and would make them feel bad. So, like, you know, I might have a friend that I'm like, I always thought they were kind of not that bright. But I never told them that. Or it can even get more specific. Like, you know that hobby that you're really into? You're bad at it, and you should not continue it. But there's nothing useful in that. So I haven't told them. I don't regret having told them.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't, you know?
Yeah.
When I was younger... Like, that was, you know, back in the day, I was the truth, you know, that people need to know things. Like, no, why would you, how is that helpful?
Yeah, right.
And then the other thing, it's closely related, but I mean, this could fall into the category to a degree. If it's stuff that would just make my relationship with them creepy.
Mm.
So, like, certain people that I potentially have found very attractive.
Sure, sure.
And I have not told them because that would be weird.
Sure, sure.
You know? And there are some of those potentially that could fall into a slightly different question of if that person's right there and I'm going to die, I might tell them. Because it's not like they have to hang around with me later, you know? but I don't even know that that's true. And I certainly don't think I would regret. I mean, there's always I would love to see my wife one more time and tell her I love her and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I tell her that shit all the time. I don't think I'd be giving her any new information right before I died.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, this is a good question. It's weird for you and I because I feel like you and I don't hide a lot unless... We really just think there will never be a use of saying it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
And
at which point we're not going to regret not saying it.
Yeah.
Because we'll have had a pretty good reason for not.
Because, I mean, is there stuff that people I hang out with, that there's issues that I'm keeping to myself? Absolutely. But I know we would not come to resolution.
Yeah, yeah.
They would not grow. It would not be like, oh, now that I know that, I'll... No, they'd be mad, or they'd be sad, or we. The best case scenario is we would agree to disagree and pretend I never said it. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
a favorite thing I like to say about growing up and milestones in maturity was it was a very big day, the day I realized I was old enough and knowledgeable enough that I could argue with my grandparents, like legitimate, like I could actually stand up to what they were saying and respond and things. And it was also a very big and important day in my maturity when I got old enough to realize that there wasn't much point in arguing with my grandparents. Both of those were very big for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you don't keep a lot of stuff to yourself except the stuff that you always plan to keep to yourself.
Right.
And I just don't keep a lot of stuff to myself. In fact, I probably, if I was suddenly going to die, should regret more things I had said. Really, really wish I had been less forthcoming with people.
Maybe in a way that's kind of my situation too, is it's not regretting things I didn't say, it's regretting things I did say, whether, like...
Like, you know what, Donald? You should run for president.
You were saying...
Ruined everything.
You were saying that there are a lot of things you sort of don't discuss with someone because what good is it going to do? It's not going to help anything. You don't have some emotional need to say it. You're not repressed.
Sometimes I do have an emotional need to say it, and I still shouldn't say it.
But
I really want to tell you how bad you suck at this.
Those are things that I've learned sort of gradually in my life. So, you know, there've been a lot of times where I talked to somebody about something that, you know, I didn't need to talk about it. I probably just said something about it because something in my brain was saying, well, why shouldn't you talk about this? You know, it comes up in your head.
You might as well
just talk about it. What harm could there be? Well, I was too stupid to know. And so I said it.
I feel like there is a younger attitude of the belief that, you know, like, knowledge is good and we should be open about it, and, you know, and the truth will set you free and all this. And then at a certain point, it's like, no, no.
Well, but also,
sometimes just not is okay too.
I've always been very naive about so many things. I mean, I grew up in a very positive, you know, sheltered situation. I just haven't always been aware of issues that people might have with certain things.
And that's one that's hard to avoid. I mean, you learn as you go on, but mostly you learn by doing it wrong. Like, I said something, and now we aren't friends anymore. Okay, so I probably shouldn't tell people that kind of thing.
Or the person just looked at me like, why are you saying this? Or in an awkward way, and I had to stop and go, what I say seem weird or wrong or what? And then I'll obsess about it for a long time. And
see, where for me it would take a long time. It's like now I can look at conversations 10 years ago where I said something and the other person was unhappy and I got defensive and we kind of had a fight. And now I'm like, why the hell did I say that? That was terrible. Why would I do it? And not because it wasn't true, but because what was the point other than just to sow havoc, you know?
Well, and sometimes I'll just say something off the cuff that I'm not even totally serious about. But it happens to be something that a person in the group is particularly sensitive about that I didn't realize. And had I known they were sensitive about this, I wouldn't have been so flip
in what
I'd said.
I frequently have to tell people, William's not nearly as racist as he seems. No, he just says things off the cuff.
Just things that...
Oh, so you don't... You don't regret all the racist things you said.
I haven't said racist things. Just things that...
He said racist things.
Things that make it seem like I have less of a grasp on a particular subject matter than I actually do because I'm just speaking about it in a very superficial, oversimplified way.
Yeah.
Thinking that my audience isn't going to know any better, and so I'm not going to put that much thought into how I say it, but this person actually knows something about this topic, and they're offended by how flip I am about it. It's like, well, I didn't realize anyone listening was anyone who really cared.
That's what we tell you guys,
but
don't care.
But you can't undo that, you know.
From that point on,
that person thinks that you don't respect this culture, religion.
You ever know anybody who made use, not in writing, but like in person or live, made use of the word niggardly?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before.
Yes, because it is my favorite example. that I like to put out because of this concept. And it, I'm not even sure it's entirely germane. It popped into my head mostly because I watched the pilot for Atlanta. By the way, the N-word pops up many times in the pilot for Atlanta. And sometimes it's very, like, to make a point, like, in places. And yeah, I knew people who would use it and would get very defensive because it has nothing to do with the N-word.
No.
And that is true. That is absolutely true. However, it is not a common word. It is not nuanced enough that it is necessary or even really useful in language. And 100%, I just believe this is absolutely true. People only ever say that to get a rise out of people.
You think?
People only ever say that because they want somebody, not even necessarily to make them mad, but they want somebody to be like, and then they can be like, no, it has nothing to do with that. Because you know what? For those of you at home not familiar, the word niggardly means cheap.
Miserly.
Yes, exactly. And it's not a like special form of that or anything. It's a straight up synonym.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for it. And yeah, it just popped in my head again. No, because it actually came because I know I can't say I've never said the N-word because I don't remember. When I was younger, it may have come up. I never said it, like, to be an asshole. Like, I never like said it as an epithet.
Clue was what it meant.
Yes. Mm. But, no, I understood. But, I mean, I can't swear that at some point I wasn't talking about something and I quoted someone. Even potentially in a bad way. Like, you know.
Sure.
Like, I'm sure I never used it in a positive light. But I can't promise that I wasn't talking about something and I used it to make a point. What I can say is that now, and for the rest of my life, and for as many years back as I remember, I have chosen never to say it.
It just seems like a terrible, terrible thing, honestly.
And because of that, I get, there's just a little part of my brain that gets a little surprised when somebody else does.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Even in what I would say is like a completely, I don't want to say okay context, but I mean like, you know, again, nobody ever is using even like as a joke or anything. Like people, I not long ago heard somebody using it to prove a point about like they were saying like this person has such a skewed viewpoint they would probably say this and it involved that mm-hmm. word. But even then, there's a little part of me that I'm like, why'd you do it? Because, I mean, I'm not gonna tell them to stop. That's their deal.
Yeah.
And I do understand it's a word, you know,
yeah.
And it's, you know, I get all that. And that's the thing. I am not advocating nobody ever say the word again. I am saying I don't need to. And I can absolutely talk about it because when I say the N-word, nobody's confused.
No, everybody knows what that is.
Yes. And you can even quote people and just replace that with N-word, you know, that kind of thing. Saying my N-word sounds kind of funny. Dan Harmon used to do that. Dan Harmon was fascinated with it. He's like, I know I can't say that word, and consequently I really want to say that word, just because not having anything to do with its meaning, but just like a word that I'm not allowed to say, so I want to be able to say it. And I'm like, I get that idea, but I don't really care that much. And this is so off topic, I know, but I don't know, this stuff made me think of it. Words are funny. But yeah, this is just a weird question for you and I. I'm killing time now because I don't think there's enough time to draw another question, so. Oh my god! But that lets us talk about something for a second.
Okay.
Guardians. It's a movie that hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
It's just called Guardians. At least in English. It's a Russian movie. It's a Russian superhero movie.
I think I've heard
yes.
of this. Yeah. I don't know anything about it.
I haven't seen the trailer, but I saw the cracked response to the trailer. Holy shit. It looks really good.
It does?
I'm not going to say it's as good as a Marvel Cinematic Universe one, but it's close, and given it apparently took $5 million to make, it's amazing.
Mm.
And wholly original characters. It's not based off a comic or a book or anything.
Oh.
Apparently, because it's four superhuman things, and apparently it's also partially based on the four, they correspond to four areas within Russia, I think.
Oh, okay.
So there's some of that too. And it's funny because they're vaguely elemental, but not quite. One of them, like, can control earth, and one of them can control water, and one of them has a bunch of blades and moves like the wind, and one of them is a werebear.
Oh. Just throw that in there.
Exactly. And they're up against a villain who, like, can control machinery and robots. So somebody's like, this is almost like a gritty Captain Planet reboot, but we don't have the fire guy, but otherwise. Yeah, and a werebear. And it just looks really good. And hopefully it's not called Guardians, because somebody's like, did nobody tell them that we have, like, several movies?
Yeah.
With, including a superhero one? And he's like, I'm sure the actual name is Long Thing We Can't Pronounce in Russian. But when... because when you watch the trailer, they're very clearly speaking in Russian, and they dubbed it over with English.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looked really interesting. Mm. I mean, as a superhero movie, but... I love this idea that of other countries making big movies, because I'm getting a little tired of the American ones. And don't get me wrong, other countries make movies now, but, like, the hundreds of million dollars giant exciting things or whatever is mostly us, a little bit with China's help. Well, I love the idea of other countries making these.
The great thing about Netflix is you get films from all over. I mean, there are lots of a lot of great Korean movies on Netflix.
Have you heard about Nollywood?
I don't know.
It is, you know, Bollywood.
Yeah, India.
Yes. This is, I think, Nigeria. It's some African nation that now basically has a film industry that is prevalent enough to be noticed and sort of a type that it has a feel to it, like a Bollywood thing does.
Interesting.
And yeah, it's called Nollywood. That was the thing. I'm going around Amazon Prime looking for movies. And, like, and people are like, oh yeah, this is a great Nollywood. And I'm like, what the hell is that? So I finally had to look it up. I think it's Nigeria. I don't know. It's some African nation. And of course, yeah, you can find it. Indian cinema is amazing. I really need to see more Indian cinema.
A lot of great Scandinavian cinema.
Yes.
Well, European cinema in general, I guess. But there's a lot of good stuff out there that you can find on Netflix. And I imagine they all have them. Amazon and Hulu has those.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And I think that's great.
Foreign is considered a genre at this point, so.
But, you know, a lot of that stuff, how would you ever have seen it?
Yeah.
Maybe a video store might have a little section, you know, or whatever. I mean, until you had Netflix and streaming services, you just didn't have those options.
Okay, I wasn't going to bring this up, but now I'm going to bring this up. So I did see a movie this last week. Not recommending it.
Okay.
And you should be prepared that you're going to say, of course he doesn't recommend this. For those of you in the know, it was a Troma distributed film. Troma is a company that specializes in making shitty, shitty movies.
Oh, you mentioned them before.
Yeah. They are probably most famous for the Toxic Avenger movies.
Yep, I remember those. Didn't see them, but I remember
them. Yeah, it's those guys.
I mean, they had theatrical releases and everything.
Oh, yeah. And they're still around. But this movie, I'll just put it this way. The movie is titled Thingy, : Confessions of a Teenage Placenta. And it is a horror movie about a woman, sort of a bodybuilding woman, who is very clearly being played by a man in drag, she actually gives birth to a baby, and the afterbirth comes out. But for reasons I'm not entirely clear on, she treats the placenta like the baby, and the baby like the placenta. And so, like, she raises the placenta, and it becomes like a teenager and stuff. But it is, of course, picked on a lot, because it's a placenta, and eventually it fights back, and that's where the horror part sort of kicks in. Not the horrific part.
Okay.
That's where the genre horror thing. And here's the thing. It's a shit movie. Don't see it. It's awful. But
that really seems to go without saying.
And it's in English, but it very clearly was made in some other country. I think Germany. The problem is the accents change. Some people have German accents. Some people seem to have French accents.
Maybe it was in Switzerland.
It's hard. That was actually my first thought. But also, it gets weirdly philosophical and, like, existential in place. Like, there are little, like, monologues and things that are really kind of brilliant. Because, obviously, like they really did try. Like, this is a metaphor in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of aspects to it that are metaphor. The mom, like I said, she's a bodybuilder. But she only worked out one arm. And that arm is just grossly muscular. Like, they use prosthetics, like, really cheap prosthetics. And she even talks about, like, you know, she was trying, and she was like, I didn't know if it would work, and so I figured I'd do it with just one. And it gets deep in a way that in no way makes the movie worth it, but is fascinating. And, like, a shit movie like this could totally be made in the U.S. None of that would be there. None of that would be there. And the ending is very sort of dark, and, like, he ends up, spoiler alert for Thingy, Confessions of a Teenage Placenta, he ends up killing his mother at a certain point, too. But his whole, like, murder spree, as it were, is very much just resigned. He's not, like, angry. He's like, tired, and he just wants things to end, and he does it by killing people. And it was just weird that this thread of... I don't even know. Of philosophy seems like a wimpy way to explain it, but sort of introspection and message within it was going through this ridiculous and horrible movie. And it very much... It was a very European thing. Like, it was very... It had that vibe going. So that was weird. We're over time. Tell us what movies you've seen about personified body parts that no one else should see. Also, answer these things for you, because we answered them shitty. So, what's your favorite summer cocktail? Some of you gotta have some. Mark, if nothing else. And you're gonna die, so what haven't you told someone and you regret, and why? You better figure it out, because I'm coming for you. Like us on Facebook, please. And go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and answer all those things I just told you to. And listen next week. And don't watch that movie I talked about. Don't do it. It's on Amazon Prime, but don't do it. Thingy: Confessions of a Teenage Placenta. Don't watch it.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.